Really video. It's been an intro to the series, but it's also an advertisement for the Breakthrough Weekend that's coming up in 2 weekends, March 2nd and 3rd. And want to just encourage you, if you've never been through the Breakthrough Weekend, to sign up and be a part of it. It's a free weekend. It's Friday night, Saturday, most of the day. And it's a great weekend where we just understand God's truth. But then there are some personal application moments where we can apply the truth of God's word to our life. And people that have been through the weekend will tell you that it's one of the best things that they've done to understand the freedom that they have in Christ and God's plan and purpose. So if you haven't had a chance on that connection card, you can just check off that you want to come and be a part of that so that we can prepare for that. Well, we've been in the Breakthrough series. As I said, this is week number 6. I want to begin this this last session just with a thought. And that is, you know, it's when we go through difficult times, either you go through a difficult time personally or somebody you know or that you love goes through a difficult time, it's easier to hear that story when you know that it turns out okay at the end. If you know that it's okay and everybody was okay at the end, it's easier to hear that story if it's a difficult story. Give you an example. Several years ago now, I'm not sure how long, maybe at least 10 years ago, the Urso family went through a terrible house fire. And many of you were here when that happened. And, you know, we got the news and the first thing was, is everybody okay? Is everybody out? And we understood at that moment everybody was out and everybody was okay. And there was just a great sigh of relief because we knew that it turned out okay, that everybody was fine. And then later we heard sort of the details in the story as it unfolded. And to hear those somewhat, I would say, excruciating details about how the fire spread quickly, and if this didn't happen and that didn't happen, then it could have ended a whole lot more tragic. And you could see the hand of God through that whole event protecting that family. But hearing the details of all of that, it's a lot easier. It was easier for me because I knew that it turned out okay at the end and everybody was okay. So I can just kind of, okay, I know how it ends. Everybody was okay. As tragic as it was and as much loss as it was okay because it ended well. You understand, it's easier to hear that. Now, let me give you another example of this. I like, you know, sports examples sometimes. And Steeler fan, like many of you are, you know, and sometimes this happened. I'm not sure what game it was. Even it was a few years back. But I remember I had to DVR a game. It was a very important game. I think it was with the Ravens, and it was a playoff game, and I couldn't watch it live for some reason. So we do what we do, and we DVR the game, you know? And if you're like me, when you DVR the game, you go like this. Okay, I'm not going to listen to the radio, and I'm asking people, like, please don't tell me how it ends. I have a DVR, and I can't watch it. I want to watch it as if I'm watching it live when I go home. And I was doing pretty good most of that day, but there was one man that he kind of looked at me, you know, and gave me one of those smiles and did that. And I'm like, no, don't do that, you know? And I could just tell by the cheesy smile and the look on his face, I knew that it was good, you know? And then he said, made the comment, you know, the first half isn't good, but the second half, it gets a lot better. So I'm like, well, great, thanks, you know? So I'm sitting there, go home, and I watch the game, and I'm sitting in my, you know, in my living room watching it, you know, and I think one of my kids came in and, you know, was like, hey, Dad, what's wrong? You know, I'm like, what do you mean, what's wrong? I'm fine. Because you're not screaming at the TV during the Steelers game like you normally do. What's wrong? You know, throwing stuff around. And, you know, and he said, well, I know how it ends. I mean, I don't know exactly how it ends, but I know that the Steelers win 99% sure because I kind of hurt. And so here's the deal. I normally, you know, like a lot of Steeler fans, we watch the game, right? And we're kind of like yelling at the TV and getting all emotional and, you know, that's a debacle and what's wrong with that team? And, you know, walk out, turn it off, turn it back on. Anybody do that? I know that's kind of how I do it. And, but I didn't have to do that because I knew how it ended. I knew that the Steelers were going to win. Even though they were behind a couple of touchdowns at half and it looked terrible and somehow they were going to turn it around. And so I watched it. I was a lot calmer and just a little more subdued because I knew how it was going to end. Anybody watching the Olympics? We watch a lot of the Olympics. We were watching the half pipe with Sean White, you know, the guy that won the gold. Yeah, we're cheering for him. And I remember they kept saying, up next, Sean White. But they said that for 2 hours. And he ended up, you know, 11:15 or so. We stayed up all night. And finally, and this was just the preliminaries, I guess you call it, to get in for the gold, you know, but he really needed to perform well. And so I was like, Jamie, here it is, Sean White, he's up, you know, and I'm watching, I'm standing on my feet going like this, like, yeah, and going like this, yeah, you know, I'm into it, you know, and then it's all done and I'm like, yeah, you know, and I look over at Jamie, she says, could you rewind it, please? And I said, what do you mean rewind it? She said, I was too nervous, I couldn't watch it live. And I'm like, what do you mean? We stayed up for hours to just, you know, to watch this guy. And so I said, they're going to show it slow motion, you know? And so you can watch it. But here's my point is simply this. When we know that things turn out at the end, okay, it's a lot easier for us to go through the experiences that we go through. Even though some of those experiences are tough and even tragic, and they don't maybe work out even exactly or the way that we wish they would or want them to, because we know in the end that things turn out okay, it's easier to go through. Here's the main point of the outline on your outline today. And that is this. It's that when my faith is in Christ, my future is guaranteed. When my faith is in Christ, I want to share some hope with you today. When your faith is in Jesus Christ, here's what we know for sure. In the end, we win. In the end, we have victory. In the end, my future is guaranteed because I have heaven to look forward to. And no matter how life goes, and no matter what's going on in the meantime, I know the end of the story, and I know how it ends. And when my faith is in Jesus Christ, what I know for sure is that my future is guaranteed, that I have heaven waiting for me, and that's something that nobody or no thing can take away from me. When your faith is in Christ, your future is guaranteed. And here's the thing, it's helpful for us when we go through life and we go through difficulties. Things may not be working out the way we think or we even want them to work out in our lives. But there is a certain hope that we have that we know how it ends. We know the end of the story and we know that our future is guaranteed. And because our future is guaranteed, we can have a faith and we can have a hope for our lives today in the midst of what's going on in and through our lives. Can somebody say amen to that? When we put our faith in Christ, our future is guaranteed. Now, we've been talking through the series a lot about, you know, breakthrough and the promises of God for our life and how to really possess those promises and see those promises fulfilled in our life. And I know maybe it can get a little confusing sometimes, like, okay, I know this is a promise for my life and this is what God says, but how do I really, you know, experience that in my life right now? And so what I want to do is it can be a bit confusing because sometimes when God releases things in our life, He releases things in phases in our life. And I want to explain to you this way. So on your outline, a few things. The first phase with this is that some things I receive right away. Some things you receive right away. Now, let me explain it this way. When you come to faith in Christ, right? We talk about this. When you make a personal decision to receive Jesus Christ and recognize that His sacrifice on that cross was for you personally, and you invite Him into your life to forgive you of your sins and to be your Lord and to be your leader, and the Holy Spirit fills your life at that moment, right at that moment, there is a dynamic change that takes place in your life. You become a child of God. Your whole identity changes at that moment, and you at that moment become a child of God, and you receive these promises immediately, right away in your life. For instance, your sin is forgiven. That debt that we had against God has been paid. Thank God for that. I mean, the Bible tells us that our sin is what separates us from God. And all the good works in 10,000 lifetimes can never pay the debt that you and I owe to God because of our sin. But through Jesus Christ, that sin debt has been paid in full. Thank God. And I experience that forgiveness and freedom right away when I come to faith in Christ. Not only that, but the sentence of death has been paid for my life. The Bible says that the wage of sin, like what we receive because of our sin, is death. And what that death means, well, physical death obviously is a part of that, spiritual death. That is, we're spiritually dead before Christ comes into our life. But that also means eternal death, which is eternal separation from God. But the reality is this, when we come to faith in Christ, that death sentence that was to be ours has been removed because Jesus died in our place as a substitute. And that is the truth about who we are. See, what we could say about this is there are some things, and we can use the word, that are legally true about us as believers that happen right away in Christ. That sin debt has been removed. The penalty and sentence for our sin, death, eternal separation, has been removed, has been paid because Jesus died. The Bible says that we are then legally adopted into the family of God. The adoption papers are signed. And not only that, that we become heirs of God. In other words, God writes us in His will. And we become heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. We're at that moment filled with the power of the Holy Spirit in our life because the indwelling presence of God through the Holy Spirit lives in our lives. So right away, we got some things that I receive as the promise of God, this blessing, it happens in our lives right away. And we can know that, guess what? Our identity has been completely changed. That we're no longer enemies, but we are friends. We're no longer outside the family, but we are children of God. We no longer have a debt against God, but we've been completely absolved and forgiven. We no longer carry that death sentence on our life, separation from God. Jesus paid that penalty. Thank God for that. And this is where we live, and we can live in this right away. And here's the thing. It's not like receiving a paycheck, right? This is what we receive by grace through faith. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We can't work for it. When you get a paycheck, it's like, hey, I worked my hours. Give me what I deserve. And guess what? This is not like that. This is a free gift of God. And that's why we call it the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is free. And God says, this is available to you through my son, Jesus, because I love you. And we receive that right away. Now, here's the promises of God. They're part of our inheritance. They're not earned or deserved, I just said. But we get all of this as I would say, legal rights right away as children of God. But some of it we don't get experientially, or we don't get in our day-to-day experience until, listen, we act in faith and lay hold of what God has promised. So legally we get these blessings. This is who we are, but some of it we don't receive it experientially until we reach out in faith and claim or possess the promise that God has for our life. Number two, you can write this is, some things we have to possess. Some things we have to act in faith. Let me give you this example. Say I give you a big fat check of $10,000, okay? And let's pretend like I have a checking account that has that much in it that makes that check good, okay? That's just for illustration purposes. Let's just say it's good. I give you a big check, you know, for 10 grand And legally, because I've given it to you, guess what? That check is yours, isn't it? It's in your possession, right? You got it right away. But in order to experience the benefit of that check, you have to do something with it, right? There has to be a transaction. You have to go cash it, or you have to go deposit it. And once you deposit that in your account, or once you cash that check, then you can experience the benefit of that $10,000 in your daily experience. And so the reality is this, is that you have and I have been blessed, and there is an inheritance, and there is the promises of God for our life. And yes, well, a lot of it happens right away. That is who we are, a legal transaction. Many of the promises of God we have not fully and completely experienced in our life because we have not reached out in faith to possess that promise and grab hold of that promise that God has for our life. Does that make sense? We're going to talk a little bit about that here further when we get through the message. We have all these promise of inheritance, but some believers aren't experiencing it because they haven't understood how to grab hold of it in their faith. All these things God has given you as your inheritance, some we don't gain unless we take hold of it and possess what He has promised. In other words, what we have to do, we don't just simply sit back and wait. right? But what do we have to do? We have to possess that promise. We have to pray for that promise. We have to apprehend. We have to go after it in faith. Let me give you an example here. I was going to use it later, but I think it'll fit here. A couple weeks ago, we talked about Elijah. Remember Elijah when we talked about breakthrough prayer? And God promised Elijah. He said, Elijah, it's going to rain. In 3.5 years, it's going to rain. So guess what? 3.5 years came. And what did Elijah do? Did Elijah sit back and say, okay, I'm just going to wait for the rain. Looks pretty clear, pretty dry, you know. God, where's the rain, you know? Elijah actually didn't do that. What the Bible says, Elijah prayed. He said, God, you've promised it, right? So what did Elijah do? He got down on his knees and he began to pray. God, this is what you said. God, this is what you promised. And I'm believing that you're going to fulfill this promise. So Elijah didn't just wait, but he actually went and possessed that promise by saying, God, I am going to believe for you to fulfill that promise. And he prayed. He enacted his faith. He took the check, so to speak, right? And he went to the bank and he cashed it. And he cashed in that promise. And he prayed and he looked and there was nothing. He prayed, he looked, there was nothing. Prayed. He did that 7 times, remember? And finally his servant went out and said, well, I don't see anything now after 7 times except a little vapor cloud out there. And Elijah said, that's it. That's the promise. That's the start of the blessing and the promise of God. That's how we enact our faith with the promises of God. When we look at them and sometimes we say, God, I don't even know how this is possible in my life. Or God, it just doesn't seem to work for me. You know, and sometimes we get that discouraged, but there are some things we inherit right away as a child of God, and we just got to realize that. But then a lot of the inheritance is what we have to go after in prayer and stand on the word and the promises of God and believe God for this in our lives. Does that make sense? We're going to keep going on that in just a minute. But thirdly, the third phase is this, and that is some things I will get when I get to heaven. The ultimate fulfillment of all of God's promises are going to come to pass on that day when we get to heaven. Can somebody say amen to that? It's almost like this. There's phases. You know, we're going to graduate someday and we're going to be in heaven. Let me give you another analogy. Say you have a great uncle who is very wealthy. Okay, everybody say wealthy. That's good to have a great uncle. And he leaves an inheritance to you, and it's worth millions, okay? We'll just say millions. Dream about this, all right? Isn't that great? And so what he says is you're maybe a kid, and he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a couple $100,000 right now that you can enjoy, all right? But the rest, we're going to give it to you after you graduate, all right? And so in a sense, this is what God has done. He's saying, listen, this is what you inherit. This, you're a child of God. And right away, you can experience this new relationship with me and your forgiveness of sins. And then there are promises that you're going to have to lay hold of in faith and possess those promises that I have for your life, you know, and we can live in that. But some of it, we are not going to ultimately see fulfilled in our life until someday when we get to heaven. Amen. Some of you may say, well, I would like that right now. Why do I have to wait till I get to heaven? You know, I get that. But here's why I think, because I think the ultimate fulfillment of all of the promises of God for our life are so incredibly awesome that our human physical bodies right now could not contain all of that blessing and all of that glory that ultimately God, I think we would just kind of explode because we could never contain it. But someday when we get to heaven, we mentioned last week, we're going to receive our new and resurrected bodies, right? That are perfect in a perfect place called heaven. In that moment, we will be able in that moment to understand and receive all of the glory and all the goodness and all the fulfillment of the promise of God that he has for our lives. Amen to that? So I want you to see that these promises, some of it we get right away, right? Some of it we have to possess. Some of it we'll ultimately get. So some of it we get legally, right? Some of it we have to get in our experience through our faith and what we access. And some of it will ultimately be fulfilled. All of it, I should say, will ultimately be fulfilled in heaven someday. So we're going to talk through this. So here's what I would say. This phrase that we started with, the main point, we're going to add to it. When my faith is in Christ, my future's guaranteed. But here's what I want you to add. But I'll have to fight for it. Fight for the blessing now. Now, I want to talk about this just for a couple minutes about how we possess or how we enact our faith on the promises of God. Go back to the promised land. If you've been following in the small group studies, listen, if not, maybe only a few, but if you haven't, those videos are going to be up on our website for a long time. There are great teachings by Pastor Jeff. I want to encourage you to just listen in. Great, great stuff. But there's the story there about the Israelites going into the promised land. We talked a little bit about this with Caleb, and they're at the edge of the promised land now under the leadership of Joshua. And God says this, he says to Joshua, he goes, that's the promised land, that's what I've promised, now go possess your promise. So the question is, did God give it to them or did they have to go possess it? Well, the answer is both. God had given it to them, it was theirs. God said, I have given it to you, but you have to go in and you have to possess that promise. You're going to have to go in and I'm going to give you the victory, but you're going to have to fight for that in your life. I've been watching a show every once in a while on, I think it's the History Channel. It's called, I forget the name of it. It's a war story about the current situation and the people that are deployed, the special operations that are deployed. Chain of Command, it's called. Forgot there. And it talks about, it just shows the real stories of these soldiers going in. The particular show I was watching, there was a commander, he had his group of special operation guys, whether they are Navy SEALs or Rangers, I'm not sure. And you know what he was saying was, he was preparing them. He said, you have trained for this. You're combat ready. You have trained for this. So when you go into this situation, we don't know exactly how it's going to unfold, but you be prepared for combat. You be prepared for war. You be prepared for conflict because you know, 99% sure there's going to be conflict there. And he used the phrase, he said, you are trained for a battlefield and not for a beach resort. And I like that. He said, listen, if you're going into this expecting a beach resort, when bullets start flying and hand grenades start going off and you're engaged in some conflict, you're going to say, what's going on here? I didn't know, you know? And what was supposed to happen? He said, you're preparing for battle and not for a beach resort. I know if you go to a beach resort, things are a lot different. If it rains 1 hour, you're like, what's going on here, right? Or if your accommodations aren't exactly what you want them to be, it's kind of like, you know, hey, I paid for this and this should be, you know, the right way. But when you go into battle, like these soldiers who so courageously and bravely serve our country and do this, there's a different mentality that takes place there. And here's what I want to say is that, so from this time when you accept Christ in your life, right, and you come to faith in Jesus and you cross that line, and at that moment, right away, you are a child of God, forgiven of your sins, you're blessed, you inherit God's kingdom for your life, and you're adopted into the family, and all these wonderful things. From that point until we someday get to heaven, what we have to understand and have the right frame of mind is that we are not to expect a beach resort type of experience, but more of a battlefield experience. The beachfront experience happens when we get to heaven. Somebody say amen to that. Looking forward to that. But in the meantime, we are actually in a battle. We are actually in a war. Now, the Bible tells us this in Scripture that we don't wrestle. In Ephesians 6, it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. In other words, our enemy is not really in the physical realm or with physical people, but we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of this dark world. In other words, there is a spiritual battle that is going on. An invisible spiritual battle, though we can't see it with our eyes, is very real and very clear to us. A battle that is going on. In the moment that you step across the line of faith in Jesus Christ, you have an enemy who wants to kill and steal and destroy what God is doing in your life. God has a plan and a purpose to not harm you, a plan and a purpose to prosper you, but the enemy has also a plan to steal, kill, and destroy. And you enter that battle. And that's why sometimes when we come to faith in Christ and we receive this inheritance and all this goodness, and sometimes we think, okay, it's just going to be smooth sailing from here on. No, you've entered a battle. And there's an enemy that doesn't want you to succeed in your life. And it's a real enemy, the devil, the Satan, who's a fallen angel and works against right now the plan and purpose of what God has for our life and what God wants to do in our life. And so you're gonna enter a battle. But here's what I want you to know. That when you face the battles that we're talking about, right? The people of Israel, they went to battle, right? God said, that's the promised land, but you gotta possess that land. And they went to, there is never a battle that you face that God does not intend for you to win that battle through the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the resources that God has for your life available to you as a child of God. I heard the other day that we don't fight for victory, but we fight from a place of victory already because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. When the people of Israel went in that promised land, they were fighting from a place of victory, not for victory, because God had already given them the land. And so we can fight from a place of victory for our lives. Amen to that? See, there are promises. God says there's a peace that passes all understanding that you can experience right now in the midst of your life. That there's joy that you can have right in the middle of a crisis experience that you have. There is freedom from addiction that you can have in your life right now. There is hope and joy for your life. There is fulfillment, purpose, and satisfaction that you can experience in your life right now through Jesus Christ. And oftentimes we don't experience those things because we haven't learned how to step out and act in faith to really possess those things that God has already promised for our lives. Amen to that? And this is how it works. We're going to move on here in just a minute. My future in Christ, when my faith is in Christ, my future is guaranteed. But we'll have to fight for it. I say it this way, there are things that I'm believing God for my life personally. Things I'm believing for my marriage, things I'm believing for my family, things that I'm believing God for my finances. I have got promises for my kids that I'm believing for my kids. Now, everything that I am talking about and everything that I am believing for, is it happening right now in my day-to-day experience? Well, I'll say this, not fully and completely, right? But guess what I'm doing? I am standing upon the word. I'm standing upon those promises. I am declaring in faith that I am going to possess that land, that I am going to see this take place in the lives of my kids or my marriage, my church, my family, whatever I'm believing God for. And I am never going to stop believing the promises of God until they are ultimately fulfilled in my life or sometime after my life. Amen? See, I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to let up. I'm going to believe God for the promises that He has for my life. And what this whole breakthrough is all about is about simply this, knowing that you can come to faith in Christ and have new life in Jesus, your sins washed away, you're a child of the King, you inherit all of heaven and all that God has, and that happens immediately, right? And someday we're gonna be in glory and we're gonna be in the kingdom, and that is gonna be completely awesome, where all of the promises of God are ultimately fulfilled. But in the meantime, while we are on earth, we can fight and we can live in a place of victory as overcomers in Jesus Christ because of what Christ has done for us. And wherever you are in this journey, it might have just started a couple weeks ago, or you've been a follower of Christ for decades now, there is more for you to believe for in your life. There is more that God has and desires for your life. You may say, well, I don't know about that. I know about that, okay? God has more, and there's more that He wants to believe you, that He wants you to believe for in your life, more of the fulfillment of the promise of God, more of the blessing and favor that God desires for your life. There's more. And you can lay hold of that for your life. Okay. So, thanks. I need a break. Whew. So, the big question, we're going to have three more things I want to talk about here, but we'll look at Revelation. We're going to look at the end of the book, Revelation, okay? How many of you have been reading a book, you get halfway through and you're like, I got to find out how this thing's end. And you go through, then you read the last two pages. Anybody do that? Admit it. You might have done that. And then once you see how it ends, you go, okay, I got this. I can, you know. Well, we're going to look at the end, and we're going to, at the end of the book, Revelation, okay? And we're going to see how it ends here, all right? But in the meantime, we do that. I want to give a recipe for victory, all right? Because some still, maybe I'm just kind of feeling the room can sense. It's like, okay, you're passionate about this. You're believing this for us as a church, and I can, these promises that God has for my life, and I kind of understand what you're saying, but yet I still feel like I'm stuck and I'm not getting over things. I'm not getting through things. I feel like I'm still struggling and I'm still have all these doubts and I can't break free from this. And I just have, and I just feel like it just doesn't feel like it's working for me. God must not like me or something, you know? And we get just real discouraged about that. But in Revelation, I want to show you, we're called just a recipe for victory. And three things that I think, honestly, you can take from here. Say, this is how I can walk and maintain ongoing victory in my life. And when I say that, please don't interpret this as that means all my circumstances are going to be wonderful. No, I'm not talking about circumstances at all. I'm not sure what storms may rage around you right now and the things that you wish God could just change immediately, and sometimes God intervenes in that way and changes circumstances, but most of the time what God does is he changes our heart. And in that circumstance, we have a peace that passes all understanding. In that circumstance, we have a contentment because we know we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So in the middle of it, we're saying, you know what? I may be wandering in a desert right now, but my heart is in the promised land. And I'm going to have faith and I'm going to believe for what God is going to do. And so we can live in a sense of victory in our lives as we lay hold of those promises of God. Amen? I'm tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of being defeated sometimes. I'm tired of getting negative. I'm tired of listening to the voice of the enemy instead of listening to the voice of my God who loves me and says, you can walk in victory right now. That's what I'm talking about. And so we're going to look at these verses here in Revelation chapter 12. There's some real symbolic stuff that's going on here. There's this battle between a dragon who is Satan, who's trying to destroy the church and God's purpose and the people of God. And so John the Revelator was given this vision to see how things end, how things happen at the end. And so we see this great battle that's going on between the devil and what he's trying to do to destroy the work of God and the people of God. And then here's what verse 10 says. It's, then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. In other words, God is saying, okay, this is it. We win in the end, all right? We win in the end. The authority of Christ. It says, for the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before God day and night, has been hurled down. The accuser, that's another word, another name for the enemy, Satan. And this is his primary weapon that he uses against us, the lie and the accusation to try to discourage us. So we're going to talk about that in a moment. He has been hurled down. In other words, there has been now complete victory. We know who wins in the end, right? Right? We know how the story ends. We know that we win in the end. So the enemy has been defeated here. And here's what it says. This is a recipe here for victory. They, that would be us, the church, you and I, they overcame him. Overcame who? The enemy. They overcame him by a couple things. The blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life so much as to shrink back from death. In other words, they were not even afraid to die or to give their lives. So we're going to look at this. We're going to look at this as a recipe for victory quickly here on your outline. Number one is this. What Jesus did on the cross shuts the mouth of the devil in my life. Come on now. What Jesus did on the cross, it shuts the mouth of the devil. Go back to that story. The devil is an accuser. Here's what he does. He accuses us before God. In this heavenly battle, you know, God, have you seen them? Look how bad they are. look how they sin. Look how they're unfaithful to you. Look how guilty they are. These people, God, look, they're never going to amount to anything. You're not going to do anything good in their lives, God. And he accuses and he says, remember their sin, Lord? Look how bad they were. Look what they've done in the past. Look how much shame and guilt, God, over their life. And so the enemy, what he does is night and day, he just accuses, he accuses, he accuses, you know? And not only does he accuse us before God, but he accuses us to our own face, doesn't he? Who do you think you are? Look what you've done. You failed way too many times. You're never going to overcome this. God doesn't even favor you like he favors other people. You're not going to be able to break through this. This is always going to be who you are. You know what I mean? And he accuses us not only to God, but he accuses us to our face. But then I get this picture where we have this almost like a courtroom scene. And Jesus is our attorney, you know? He's our advocate. And he silences the voice of the enemy and he says this, "No, Father, I gave my life and I shed my blood so they can experience forgiveness and wholeness. I have given my life for them so that they can experience freedom from sin. And we have put the power of the Holy Spirit in their life so they can live overcoming lives." And you see this picture where Jesus is shouting down the devil in his accusations because of what he has done. And the verse says here, it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And I know when you hear the word blood of the Lamb, if you're not a church person, you may think like, whoa, what is that? That's weird. Sorry. That's just the blood and Lamb. And what is that all about? Let me tie it in. In the Old Testament, there was a sacrificial system where they sacrificed everything from doves to bulls and lambs and everything in between. And all of those sacrifices were for the purpose of pointing someday to the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus Christ would make, where the lamb, they sacrificed lambs as a sin offering. And Jesus ultimately came years after that as the Lamb of God to sacrifice his life and shed his blood so that you and I can experience forgiveness of our sins, because the Bible says without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. Somebody had to pay for sin because God is a holy God. So Jesus came as the Lamb of God and shed his blood on the cross. And when Jesus cried out in his last breath, "It is finished," he wasn't saying just that his death was done, but what he was saying, that there now is no other sacrifice that needs to be made for all eternity, that his death was final and every sin can be forgiven and every person can be made right with God who comes to him through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen to that? And so it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And here's how I overcome on a daily basis, is I just say, "Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for my sin. And because you went to that cross and took my penalty and took my punishment, and because you rose again from the dead, because your blood was spilt on that cross, I am assured that I can live in absolute victory today because of the blood of Jesus Christ." And every one of the promises of God, the Bible said, are yes and amen in Christ because of what he has done on the cross. Amen? If you ever doubt that you've been loved by God or that God cares for you, look to the cross and you overcome by the blood of the Lamb. "Jesus, you shed your blood for my sins. How much do you love me, God, that you would give your son, Jesus, that you would surrender your life for me?" And so they overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We overcome by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on that cross, because in that sacrifice, he took back the keys of death and hell. He overcame the grave, and he now is at the place of highest authority in the universe and all of creation, and we share now in that authority because of what he did on the cross. Amen to that? There are many times when I say this, I plead the blood of Jesus. That sounds like, whoa, if you're not familiar, what does that mean, you know? It just simply means this. It means that Lord, I recognize what you did on the cross for my victory, for sin, for healing, for everything. And so, Lord, I look to you and I look to the cross and I plead the blood over this church and over my family and over my kids in Jesus' name, God, that you will ultimately fulfill your purpose and your plan that you have for my life. And so they overcame through the blood of the Lamb, the sacrifice of Christ, and what he has already done for our lives. Amen? Amen? The cross is victory, and you can live in that victory. Secondly, here's what it says. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Or Genesis chapter 3 talks about the sacrifice that Jesus made, or God made, the first shedding of blood in Genesis chapter 3, as he made garments of skin for Adam and Eve. Number two, the more I agree with and confess God's promises, the more I experience his victory in my life right now. the more that I believe, I want to say it again, the more I agree and confess God's promises, the more I experience his victory in my life right now. It says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, okay? The word being the confession of their mouth, the testimony being the promises of God. When we choose in our life to confess the promises of God, and not just confess what I feel is going on around me or confess the negativity that is around me, but when I choose to confess the word of God and the promise of God over my life and over my situation, I will have a deeper sense. I will experience more of his victory in my life right now. We can confess what the enemy says, and he's an accuser, isn't he? And he speaks negativity all over the place. You can confess what other people say. You can confess what you feel. You can confess what you think, right? But I am going to choose to confess the promise of the word of God. They overcame by the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. Their confession on the promise of God. It's just as easy. Listen, it's no more difficult to believe God than it is to believe the devil, right? I really believe that. It's not that much more difficult to be positive than it is to be negative. I can look at this situation and say, man, bad, 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 getting worse, 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 you know? Or I can choose to confess, no, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That God is going to do something here, that he's working behind the scenes and I don't even know, all things work together for the good, right? It's just as easy. But we have to confess it with our mouth. That's a different thing. I can think it, but sometimes I just stand up and I begin to confess things. God, you're greater than any problem I have right now. Your power is matchless, God. Lord, there's nothing that you can't do, God, in my life. God, I can do all things through Christ who gives me. And I begin to confess it out loud. And you begin to see God do something miraculous in your life because you're agreeing with the promise of God. Amen? That's how we apprehend this. We can't just sit back and wait for it. But we say, God, I'm going to choose to possess these promises and act by faith. And finally, and this will be quick, the last one. All right. Need some help back there. There it is. All right. Nothing, not even death, can stop God from ultimately fulfilling his promise in my life. Amen to that? Whew. That's where we know who wins in the end. And nothing. They didn't even shrink back from death. In other words, nothing can stop God from fulfilling his purpose and plan in your life. Amen? I want you to stand with me and we're going to worship. As you are standing, I want to share one verse as our worship team here is. Romans chapter 8, we talked about it last week a bit. There's a verse later down in the chapter there. It says that all things work together for the good of those who love God, been called according to his purpose, right? We know that verse, right? But there's a verse that comes right after, and it says, listen to this, it says, for those who God foreknew, the Bible says, or he predetermined them. In other words, God predetermined that you would be born, that you would become a child of God. All right? You got that? Okay? It talks about predestined, which means God had a plan in advance for your life already. Think about that. Before you were even born, those who God foreknew, he also, he determined that they would become children of God and that God's will is to conform us into the image of Christ, okay? So I want you to get this. Before you've been born, God knew you. That's awesome, isn't it? And not only that, he had a predetermined plan that he was going to make you into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And then it says those who God called, that's God has called you. If God has justified, that is, those who God has justified, he's made you right in right standing with God because of what Jesus has done. That's good, right? He's already knew you before you were born. He called you and justified you in Christ that we're right with God because of what Jesus has done, not what we've done. Those he justified, now listen to this, it says he also glorified. Wait a second, I haven't been glorified yet. Someday I will, and someday you will be too. Why? Because in the end, we win because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. God sees it from beginning to end. Before you've been born, He knew you, predetermined that you would be conformed into the image of Christ. He called you. He justified you in Christ, made you in right standing. And right now, you're being sanctified. Someday, you're going to be glorified in Him. And that's what we have to look forward to. Wherever you are in this journey right now, there is more that God has for you to believe for in your life, more of the fulfillment of the promise of God for your life. Would you agree with that? Are you ready to possess what God has for your life through faith? Amen? Come on, let's do it right now. Father, we thank You for what You've done. Thank You for the cross. Thank You that we belong to You. Thank You, Father, that You've made us new in Christ. Thank You for all the promises that are yes and amen in Christ, God. Thank You ultimately that You will be glorified and we will be glorified with You in heaven someday. But until then, God, we want to possess every bit of the promise and the inheritance that is ours that You've given us. We fight from a place of victory, God, today because You overcame and we will overcome. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.